Taking your calls for another hour as we take it to the warm show again here on this Tuesday morning. A lot about baseball as we start tonight for both teams. An important two series stretch leading into the All-Star break, and specifically for the Yankees, because it feels like right now they're a little bit more on the precipice. They're a little bit more right on the edge. The Mets did win the Subway Series. The Mets won the series before that. They've won four out of their last five, and they're getting answers, as Lindor said today, or should I say yesterday, with the famous line that every Yankee fan dreads and yells and screams about. Lindor talked about the idea that they're getting two pitchers back. It's going to feel like trade deadline acquisitions. They're getting starting pitching back. Not that they need it, because apparently they're cheating at home. Just the way Spike, you just heard the comments in the update. That is such an Evan way to put it, too. I'm not saying they're cheating. I'm not saying that. But somebody should look into it. But clearly they have Manaea coming back. They have Senga coming back. Peterson kind of made you feel a little bit better with how he pitched the last game against the Brewers. And you feel like that rotation, you still got Holmes, who's starting tonight for the Mets, still pitching to an ERA under three. Even with Montas, wasn't terrible against the Yankees. Other than that, one really good start, one really bad start, just kind of getting his season started, really. And as your fifth starter, you could live with it. So it feels like what had been a disaster for the Mets, that starting rotation. And listen, they still have problems, right? We talked about third base. You know, Vientos is still struggling. The bottom of the order is still struggling. They a bullpen that, you know, was a little bit better against the Yankees, and certainly a big two innings from Reed Garrett that make you feel a little bit better about his season, as he was really kind of spiraling out of control. But they do have the closer. There's the trade deadline. They're getting two top-level starting pitchers back into the rotation. They have won the two last series and four out of the last five games. It feels like they're kind of stabilizing a little bit as they head down to Baltimore to take on a lousy Orioles team, probably the most disappointing team in baseball this year. And the Yankees feel more like in free fall at the moment. As we saw again last night, the Toronto Blue Jays win their ninth game in a row, and they are taking on the lousy White Sox and then following it up playing the A's. And the Yankees are looking at a Seattle team that has pitched really well as of late. They're looking at Gilbert tonight, who's a very good young starting pitcher. They got Will Warren on the mound. They're now 3.5 games back after being up 7 over Toronto, what feels like 2 days ago. They have completely evaporated not only their lead, but of even keeping it close. They are now 3.5 back of the red-hot fraud Toronto Blue Jays. And they're playing lousy teams coming up, and the Yankees are playing the Mariners and the Cubs. This is a huge stretch of six games for the New York Yankees, as they clearly, as you could look at the back page in the New York Post today, if you can find one, are out there searching for everything. The loss of Clark Schmidt is a devastating blow to the New York Yankees in this rotation. The loss of Cruz out in the bullpen is a devastating blow. The way Weaver has been performing since coming off the IL has been both shocking and damning to this team that is now no longer just a slumping offense. It is no longer just this team that's, you know, hit the skids a little bit and has a slumping offense, and they'll break through and they'll come back. They're not going to play like this forever. Now this rotation is in real flux, with Carlos Rodon proving he doesn't pitch in big games, with Clark Schmidt, who is, you know, had 27 or 28 consecutive shutout innings and was throwing the best of his career, now gone because of injury. Will Warren, who's going to pitch tonight, who's been really good for them this year, but gotten lit up like a Christmas tree against the Blue Jays his last outing, and has had that a couple of times this year with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. The bullpen and guys you need to count on, like Jonathan Loaisiga, can't get outs. Weaver's been terrible since coming back. Williams has been much better over the last, you know, 40 games or so, last month and a half or so, but still can't trust him. The last time he was in a big-time spot against the Blue Jays, he gave up two runs, including a wild pitch that scored the go-ahead run. Like, it just feels like there's no anybody you can go to with any bit of confidence in the bullpen. The rotation is in shambles. And the lineup, which has started to awaken and Judge is coming out of his slump, it feels like that's what bad teams do. Starting pitching and bullpen were great for 2 weeks as the offense lay dormant and unable to do anything. And as they start to pick up their game, the rotation and bullpen completely fail them. And they're out there looking for a third baseman because they continue to play Jazz out of position and DJ LeMahieu at second base. So they need a third baseman desperately. They need bullpen arms desperately. They probably need a starter pretty desperately, although Luis Gil is coming back in maybe a month. Those are too many. Like, the Yankees aren't going to get all of those answers in a trade, in a deadline that is hard to figure out when, I don't know, half the teams that would be sellers haven't designated themselves as yet, and half the teams that would be buyers aren't sure what they're doing. Like, we don't know who's going to be available, where it's going to come from, what level it's going to be. And you look at this team right now and you ask yourself, like, to me, there's no doubt they're buying. There is no selling for the New York Yankees. There is no selling in this Judge window. There is no selling, ever. They are not selling. They are buying. And rightfully so. And any Yankee fan who has this misconception that the season is over and they should sell everybody, or that this team's going nowhere and they should sell everybody, or maybe if they sell and they have a lousy of enough season that they'll fire Boone and Cashman and all will be right with the world, and somehow suddenly some manager that doesn't exist, who likes to yell at all his players and scratch the itch you have for that sort of thing, is going to come in here and set the mood right, and suddenly there'll be no base running decisions, there'll be no bad plays in the outfield, there'll be no, you know, issues whatsoever. Everything will go perfectly because the manager isn't handing out cookies and milk after the game, which is, you know, ridiculous. As I was just out in the newsroom listening to Ken Rosenthal talk about this with Lopresti. Well, Ken Rosenthal wasn't talking with Lopresti. Me and Lopresti were both listening to Ken Rosenthal. Those managers don't exist. They don't. No manager knocks their players publicly. Right now, look no further than Cleveland. And we talked a little bit about Cleveland because maybe the idea of Jose Ramirez, like, this is what you're trying to muster up. Is there any chance of Jose Ramirez, who's got a real team-friendly contract for a team that's going nowhere, would they be willing to try and take a haul? Would the Yankees have to give him Jason Dominguez and Lombard possibly, or obviously Spencer Jones? Like, would you be willing to do that kind of move to get a Ramirez? Or are you willing to trade some of your bigger prospects? Because we all love Cashman. He hugs those prospects. Why didn't he trade Volpe all those years ago? Peraza has no value anymore. He let Andujar die on the vine. Why don't you move these guys? All right, so let's trade Spencer Jones. No, are you crazy? For a rental? I'm not doing that. Aha. But right now, that's the questions that are being asked. Who's available? How much are you willing to give up? Is it strictly bargain basement? Are we looking to make impact, real impact moves? If so, are you willing to trade Spencer Jones? Are you willing to trade a Jason Dominguez? And yeah, that's on the table. I think it should be, at least, for the right deal. I love Jason Dominguez, and I don't want to necessarily move him, but if a Jose Ramirez is available or someone like that is available, I would be somewhat interested in doing it. But, you know, because right now, 2 weeks ago, I'm sure everybody would have thought that was a great idea. Dominguez sucks. Now he's been hot for 2 weeks. What are you, crazy, McMonagle? And then when he struggles next year, oh my God, they had an opportunity to move Dominguez and they didn't do it. But right now, this Yankee team is in real trouble. They are behind 3.5 games, and as much as I expect them to turn it around, and I do, because there are some things, like I said, the deadline, we'll be honest, I don't think it's going to be Jose Ramirez. I don't think they're trading Jason Dominguez. I don't think they're trading Spencer Jones. I think they're looking for smaller moves on the margin. You're talking about Cabrian Hayes. You're talking about McMahon out of Colorado. You're talking about those, you know, upgrades at third base, hoping that getting thrusted into a pennant race will get the best out of them. adding some bullpen arms, and going about getting back into a division they once had a very comfortable lead in, there are certain things that have to be answered from within. Williams and Weaver have to be a certainty at the back end of the bullpen. You cannot replace them. Carlos Rodon is going to have to give them big starts in the postseason or down the stretch to get into the postseason. You cannot replace him. And it starts tonight against Seattle because, again, I don't know if I trust the Blue Jays. They're on a 9-game winning streak. I don't know how long they're going to play this well. They've been playing well now for a while. But how many games can you fall behind and still feel comfortable in this division? And it doesn't get much easier for the Yankees after the All-Star break, but these games are important to keep pace and stay within arm's reach of the first place fraud Toronto Blue Jays. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. It's a little bit of baseball talk that we've been having throughout the morning. I got you for another 45 minutes or so till 6 o'clock. We'll continue to take your calls. We got you all the way to the morning show right here on The Fan. We'll be right back after this. That movie, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It is... woo! That is a tough movie to get through. It's not a terrible Pinball Wizard version from Elton John, but it's a weird one. Anne Margaret plays his mom. Obviously, Roger Daltrey plays Tommy. Tina Turner is the Acid Queen. Interesting movie.
All right, now I want to throw one at you because there are musical movies that are very weird.
Yes.
Now, one involves the Beatles and has come out in the last 25 years. Do you know what that is?
A weird movie that involves the Beatles that has come out in the last 25 years.
A little bit closer to 25 than it is recent.
And it's a weird movie involving the Beatles? Or
involving Beatles music, I should say.
Okay. There's that movie Across the Universe. I don't know if
Bingo.
Oh, that's it? That's the weird one? Yeah.
Yes.
There's a couple of weird moments in that. Yeah, the Happiness is a Warm Gun one. It's like around the war. It's a little
weird. I Am the Walrus by Bono is kind of a freaky moment.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. That movie was okay. It had its moments, but yeah, that was a weird one.
Is it weirder than that is my question. Is Tommy weirder than that
movie? I don't know if it's weirder. Yeah, I guess. It's a little weird. It's not my favorite.
Okay.
I do love the actual music. I love Tommy, the actual, you know, rock opera.
I got you. So it's more of a cult hit.
A little bit. It's just, I don't know, it's bizarre. And some of the actual, like, songs aren't that good. They kind of ruin the songs. Elton John, and he does a decent cover of It's Okay, the Pinball Wizard. But, yeah, not my thing. Not my thing, that movie. But yeah, the Beatles movie. Actually, I forgot to mention it yesterday. Yesterday was Ringo's 85th birthday.
Woo!
Happy birthday to the great Ringo Starr. 80 years old. 85, sorry. 85 years old. The great Ringo. Who's an underrated drummer, by the way.
Where would you put him?
I mean, I'm biased. I mean, he's not the most technical, right? He's not going to get in front of you're not going to sit him down at a drum kit and he's not going to go do all these fills and like, you know, play upside down like what's his name used to do at concerts?
Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, you know, like you the Who and, you know, Keith Moon was a great drummer and there's a lot of great drummers in rock, but to me, you know, he's the what's his name from Foo Fighters? I'm losing my mind.
Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl said he's the king of feel. Like he just would sit in a song and play exactly what needed to be played. And sometimes it was really creative. You listen to Rain, I think, is one of his better songs. If you listen to Come Together, it's a very unique. He was also left-handed and would lead with his left hand, and it was a little bit different sounding. But I think Ringo's one of the great drummers in rock history. I don't think there's any doubt.
I mean, just the hits alone, I think, should take him there for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, but most people kind of laugh. Like, he's the last Beatle. He's kind of, you know, anybody could have been the drummer when, you know, when Lennon and McCartney were writing the songs and stuff. But Ringo is a great drummer.
And yeah, definitely up there. Definitely up there.
Oh, he has to be. I mean, as far as importance and legacy and all that, Ringo's up there. 888-808-1019. I'm looking forward to the Beatle movies, talking about that. Like, they're coming out with four. I'm interested to see how this works.
That's right.
They're coming out with four Beatles movies, which are roughly going to be the same story, just told through the perspective of each. Each movie's going to have, they'll come out with four movies, each movie kind of telling the same story, but through the perspective of each different character. Sounds ambitious, but I'm all for it. I've been saying for years, where's my six-hour Oliver Stone Beatles epic? We haven't really had one.
This is it?
This is hopefully it. It's going to be four different movies. Yeah, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan front of the half hour. We could talk Beatles. We could talk music. We could talk movies. Why not? We could talk Yankees additions at the trade deadline, and that's what Brad Middletown wants to talk about. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm at the gym. Listen.
That's great.
I'm going to tell you right now, you know what the Yankees should do?
What's
before
that?
Before the trading deadline? They should do absolutely nothing, and I'm going to explain why.
Please do.
No, really.
All right. I disagree with you strongly. You got, sell me on the do-nothing plan.
You got DJ LeMahieu. The only reason why he's playing because he's got that contract.
Mm-hmm.
I would DFA LeMahieu. I would eat his contract.
Yeah.
Get rid of Stroman. Okay. I would trade Bellinger and restock the farm system. I would trade Goldschmidt, or they could trade those two guys.
Well, that's not doing nothing. You're proposing selling.
Hang on.
Okay.
Now, this is what I would do. You got Cam Schlittler. You got Clayton Beter.
Mm-hmm.
You got Spencer Jones. Bring these kids up.
Yeah.
And you got that one third baseman. I think his name is Juan Jesus Gonzalez or Jesus Rodriguez down in AAA. Suppose he's a hitting machine. You could put LeMahieu back. You could put Grisham back at second. Chisholm back at second base, mm-hmm. or give Jeremy a Candelario. Maybe that Kansas City might spark something back in the guy. But I would not trade none of my youth because that's exactly what these teams are cashing to do.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more. You want to give up on the season and bring up a bunch of kids?
Well, you remember what? Yeah, 2018 or 2019 when all those top players got hurt. They brought those kids up in the minors, and they scared the daylights out of everybody.
Who?
The shortstop. I've got all these guys.
No, they. Yeah, but they. That's not true. I mean, yes, they had a stretch. Believe it or not, because everybody hates the prospects and everything that the Yankees have handled over the last couple of years, and they ended up failing. And that is without question the biggest reason why the Yankees are where they are is the Baby Bombers failed. And more to the point, they failed after succeeding, which I know sounds like an oxymoron, but that has been, I've been called worse, and it is absolutely the case. Like in 2016 is the one time they sold. They traded away Chapman, they traded away Andrew Miller, they traded away Carlos Beltran, and they got back Gleyber Torres, and they got back Clint Frazier, and they sold, and Gary Sanchez, who we've heard about for forever at that point, came up and was unbelievable and hit 20 home runs in like 60 games and damn near won Rookie of the Year at the end of hardly playing any baseball that year. He was incredible and took baseball by storm. And then you lead that into 2017 where they take off. They have a very surprising season. They get to the ALCS and Judge hits 50 home runs and wins Rookie of the Year and is the face of baseball, hitting, winning the home run derby out in Miami. And it became like the face of baseball. Then 2018, you got Andujar coming out of nowhere to lead the team in extra base hits, second in runner-up in the American League Rookie of the Year. And Gleyber Torres comes up in 2018 and has a great year. And then 19... you've got Gleyber Torres as an all-star. Gary Sanchez is an all-star. And that's when they pass on the one to me that's the biggest pass in all these years is Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper wanted to be a Yankee. Bryce Harper was willing to move to first base to be a Yankee. They had Greg Bird have a great, I forgot to even mention Greg Bird, who was great in 2015, got one of the two hits they had in the wild card game against the Astros. Like, all of these kids came up and were successful right out the gate. Brian Hoke wrote a book about them. Gary Sanchez came up in 16, took the league by storm. Aaron Judge, obviously, in 17, 50 home runs, took the league by storm. 2018, Andujar and Gleyber Torres. The Yankees thought they had young answers. 2019, Aaron Hicks has a very good year in center field. They trade a backup catcher, John Ron Murphy, for Aaron Hicks, and he becomes probably out next to Mike Trout, the second best center fielder in the game for a season. And I know that sounds crazy. Go back and look. And the New York Yankees felt, and Brian Cashman felt, I'm going to have to pay these guys. I got superstars here. You know, then they trade for Giancarlo Stanton, and that was like presented to them, and they couldn't say no to it. It was Giancarlo Stanton off of a 59 home run season for Sterling Castro. And I was like, okay, I don't know about free agency. I can't guarantee things. I just got Giancarlo Stanton in the middle of this lineup after going to the ALCS. And they thought, well, I just paid him. I'm going to have to pay Judge big money. I've got the best power hitting catcher in the sport in Gary Sanchez. I've got a young up and coming superstar in Gleyber Torres. Like, I don't need Bryce Harper. That's what hurt them. If those guys came up and sucked, Bryce Harper would be on the Yankees. But they didn't come up and suck. They came up and performed. And then they sucked. They performed just long enough to have the Yankees make decisions on the future about them, and then they sucked. That has been, without question, as big a problem with the remaining years of this team. Why go out? We got Andujar. I'm not going to go pay Manny Machado big-time money. He just went second round. He was our best. He led the team in extra base hits. I got Gleyber. I got him. I got Gary Sanchez. I got Bird. I got all these guys who are going to come up and be the next core of this team. And they gave you reason to believe that. It wasn't myth. It wasn't like pulling it out of nowhere. Gary Sanchez hit 30-plus home runs 2 years. Like, he was a two-time All-Star. Aaron Judge hit 50. Gleyber Torres was their best postseason player in 2019. I remember watching, they had that, you know, the shredder list or whatever, the best players in baseball, the 100 best players in baseball. And I remember Ron Darling happened to be the guy in studio for that, whatever number Gleyber was. And he put him on there. He was like, Gleyber Torres, Ronald Acuna Jr. Like, these are the next upcoming great superstar players in this league. That's what was thought. I remember at the time I was working with CMB. One of the shows was Gleyber Torres is a better hitter than Aaron Judge. That's what we were talking about. And they were good just long enough for the Yankees and Brian Cashman to make decisions on the future about them, and then they sucked. It was a devastating blow to the Yankees, and they're still feeling the shockwaves from it today. 888-808-1019. McMonagle with you. Quick break. Come back. Continue to take your calls all the way to 6 o'clock and the morning show right here on The Fan. Mike Brown is the next head coach of the New York Knicks. There will be a press conference later today, and I hope they give you some answers. I hope we actually hear from this all-wise, all-knowing GM, who, listen, Leon Rose has done an incredible job, and I'm very satisfied with the idea, you know, Phil Jackson came here and ran it into the ground. So the idea that anybody would come in here and fix this thing, God bless him. But I'd like to hear why they're going into the most important season in the last 30 years with as good a chance to win a championship as they've had since Game 6 of the 1994 NBA Finals. And we're not going into it with a proven commodity that they had with Tibbs, why they're going for what I would deem to be a lateral move. Now, look, he's a good head coach with a track record. I don't think it's a disaster of a hire, but it's hard to get excited about. And the process in which they came about getting him and hiring him after asking, a fifth of the league if they could talk to their head coach, and pining for Jason Kidd and all the rumors about hoping he would find his way out. Like, why him? Why is Tibbs out? Answer some questions. But he won't. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. But let's get back to the calls. We only have a few minutes left. Let's go to David in the Bronx. What's up, Dave?
Good morning. I think you're not going to get an answer out of the Knicks today. There's no way in hell are they going to answer for why they made this lateral move.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of a knee-jerk decision without having, you know, Jay Wright or, you know, another proven coach in mind or kind of in hand. It was a terrible decision, in my opinion. But I actually want the Yankees to do the same thing. I don't think you're going to agree with me because it seems like, you know, the guy can do no wrong in your eyes.
That's not true.
I really think like it.
I was critical of the lineup, and I don't understand why Jazz is still on third. I've been screaming about it for 3 days.
Critical of those moves, but you want this guy to have a job for life. It seems like you're just hook, line, and sinker with the Yankees at all times. And I don't think you work for the Yankees. You get paid by the Yankees,
You think I can get paid for it?
I'm asking you.
If I pay me, I'm in.
Because it just seems like you're like on the payroll, and I just at some point you're going to have to start listening to the fans' opinions and say the guy's got to go because what he's doing.
I don't think he does, but that's fine.
A good job.
Okay, hey, listen, he's not done a good job the last 3 weeks.
When is he going to get to a point where this guy is going to get fired? Do you think he has a job for life? Or
no,
say,
he went to the World Series last year. Now go ahead, tell me why that means nothing. Yeah, tell me why it means nothing.
Won a World Series?
No, he is not, and he doesn't get to do it forever. He does not. You're 100% right. He doesn't get to do it forever.
When is that point, Chris?
If this continues, it's this year.
He has a job for life in your eyes.
No, he doesn't. He's done a good. I think he's done a good job with the team. I think he's had one. I think for one time, I think he's had the best team in the American League.
When will he get fired? In your
I have
eyes,
no idea.
When will he get fired?
I have no idea. If they don't make the playoffs, I'm not a mind reader. I don't predict the future. You want to call me up and ask me hypotheticals? When does he get fired? I have no stinking idea, Dave. If they don't make the playoffs, fired.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need.
There you go.
Hear.
If they don't make the playoffs, fired. No doubt. Again, were you listening? Were you listening in 2000? Were you listening after the 23 season when I said don't give Cashman another contract? It's probably best to cut bait with both of them right now. That's verbatim what I said after 23. After 23, I called for not re-signing Brian Cashman and moving on from him and Boone. I said that. I said, let's just do it. The fan base is toxic. They haven't won. It's been 30 years of Brian Cashman. And while I think he's done a far better job than what most people will say, I think that it's reasonable to say, hey, let's move on. If this was a disaster of a season, let's move on. Don't give him another contract. Let's move on. They didn't agree with me. They brought back both. And then they went to the World Series. And I know we poo-poo that. It doesn't mean anything. Because it was the Kansas City Royals and the Cleveland Guardians. So those series mean nothing. But the Cincinnati Reds in July and June, that tells you all you need to know about the manager. Never mind the fact that
we should have went to the World Series. Okay. The manager's a bum. Get rid of him.
Nah, I disagree with you. I don't agree with you. I don't think the manager is a bum. I think the manager has done a pretty damn good job. I don't think he's the greatest manager. He's not I never disagree with him. I disagree with him all the time. It doesn't mean I need him to be fired. I think he's had the best team in the American League one time. He took that team to the World Series. He has not been able to get over the hump against the best team of this generation, the Astros. They have been the team of the decade, and he hasn't been able to get past them. Totally agree. And he pulled the dumbest decision, him and whoever else, Cashman and the rest of the organization, in 2020 with a one-game lead in the ALDS over the Rays, and pulled the Devi Garcia, Jay Happ thing, which I wanted him fired after that game. But again, it's just like last year. Just like last year when they went to the World Series. Just like last year when they had a swoon and then found themselves and won the division and then went through the American League like a hot knife through butter. But that doesn't matter. Those games don't matter. Those were easy. It's the Cincinnati Red games in June that really tell you all you need to know. That's when you really find out about a manager in July. Like, now look, I get it. He doesn't get to stay here forever. I totally agree. He doesn't get to stay here forever. I would not give him another contract. He signed a 3-4 year deal? I would without, no matter what he does. No matter what he does. Whether they make the playoffs and rebound and get to the ALCS and lose, get to back to the World Series and lose, whatever. I'm not giving him another contract without a championship. I think that's fair. But I don't know what you want him to do. He brings in Weaver. Weaver gives up the home run. Like, that's not on him. Like, that's my problem. It's not that I buy everything the Yankees sell or that I'm behind everything Aaron Boone does. I am tired of guys like you and the rest of the Yankee fan base, and now I'm hearing that as the Mets are going through this, the Met fan is very similar with Mendoza. I am tired of every misplay and every bad pitch and every swing and miss being laid at the feet of the manager. It drives me crazy. And I have this desire, I have this need inside me to push back on that. I don't know why. I do. Instead of getting annoyed like everybody else and just saying, yeah, this guy stinks, I have to just go, what would you like him to do? Like, it's just inert in me that I can't just sit back and say, oh, yeah, no, look, Dominguez didn't realize how many strikes were in the at-bat. The manager needs to be fired. That's not me. And I look around the rest of baseball. They played the Cincinnati Reds. I've referenced the series a couple times, led by the great Terry Francona, who allowed beer and chicken in the clubhouse with the Red Sox. And I'm watching them make dumb mistake after dumb mistake. And Francona is great because he won a World Series 20 years ago. Okay. I watched them play with I watched Mendoza. I'm sure every Met fan, Yankee fan, pines the idea that they had him on the bench when they could have had Mendoza. And I watched them run the bases the same way the Yankees do. I watched the Chicago Cubs and Pete Crow Armstrong not know how many outs there are. Led by the great Craig Counsell, who's the toast of the town and could have went anywhere a couple years ago. 888-808-1019. I'm just saying, like, we want to blame him for everything. They win. He's got a top 10 record in Major League history to start a career. And Brian Cashman sucks worse. So how the hell is he doing it? Someone's doing a halfway decent job. Either the Yankees or Brian Cashman's building a really good team that the manager is, they're winning despite of, or Brian Cashman's terrible and somehow Aaron Boone gets this ragamuffins to get to the World Series. One way or the other, someone's doing something pretty good when they win this much. But if you say that, you're an apologist. 888-808-1019. I'm being told I have to break. I'd like to continue to yell, to be honest with you. But we're going to break. 888-808-1019. Back after this.